feel that students today feel that because they're looking in magazines and feel like that magazines tell them what beauty is, when of course beauty comes in all sizes, shapes, auras, colors, backgrounds, and so forth. So there is no one way to make yourself beautiful.
Welcome to the Tiger Talk Podcast. Welcome to Tiger Talk, a podcast centered on FCHS student voices and opinions. Hello, I am Brian Harmon, one of your co-hosts, along with...
I'm Jessica League, and in this series, we're going to be talking about body positivity, and we have a working definition, so I'm going to look to Madison, one of our panelists, to tell you what that definition is.
Hello, I'm Madison, and so basically the definition of body positivity that we're working with is just learning to love and accept your body regardless of the way it looks, and acknowledging, you know, that other people have different bodies as well, and to know how to love and accept other people as well.
Right. And with that, thank you, Madison. And with that definition, with this topic, we have, it's just a starting point for a host of issues that we're going to cover in this next series of episodes.
Right, Dr. Harmon. So this series, we'll be discussing things like fat shaming, skinny shaming, redefining these terms, gender, why it's wrong to ask someone, what are you, race, masculinity, the male side of things, needing to conform to certain beauty standards by propagated by the peers and the media. So a whole host of issues.
Right, right. And so I want to introduce the panel. And I'm allow them to each tell us something in our topics or in our set of topics that resonates the most with them. So I will start. My name is Brian Harmon. Again, I'm an English teacher here at Fayette County High School. One of the things that enlightened me, you're going to hear me interviewing a former graduate here at the school. And from a male perspective, the dress code is kind of a touchy topic. With me. And so some of the things that I thought or that I perceived, I found out that were a little, I guess you could say, chauvinistic. And so I was kind of misguided in my perception. And so I've already learned a lot. So hopefully you all will learn a little more to see things from a different perspective as well.
Yeah, I'm Jessica League. I also teach English here. And I'm just really looking forward to, you know, talking about a lot of these issues. I was really surprised when we originally talked about doing a body positivity episode. I was thinking it would be an episode, and it looks like it's going to turn into a series of episodes because, you know, just like we talked about in the first episode about how, you know, everyone is different and everyone has different cultures. We kind of start touching on some of those issues in this podcast as well, because, you know, different people have different beauty standards or, you know, just different things that culturally or society, you know, kind of imposes on them. And you don't really realize it until you start having these conversations with people who aren't like you to see really just how vast this topic can be.
Right, right. Madison?
I'm Madison, and I'm excited to talk about a lot of different issues, race, body positivity, because I've experienced a lot of different things myself, you know, being a woman in Black, and I've learned, you know, a lot of different things from the male perspective as well. So I'm interested in, you know, getting to know a different side to the story.
Thank you. All right, Sydney.
I'm Sydney, and I'm really excited to talk about this topic because I've also experienced like a lot of negative ideas about like my certain body type, and like I've had to learn to think of myself in a positive way, and that like it's a really difficult thing to do. And so I'm really excited to talk about that, and also like the intersections of body positivity and race and gender and how all of those things intersect, because it's a really complex thing to talk about and it can be seen from like multiple perspectives.
Definitely, definitely. And last but not least, Naz, Nasir.
Hello, as you may know me, I'm Nasir Long. One of the main focuses out of all of this that I primarily want to talk about, if anything, would be colonialism, cultural traits, and dress code. That would be a main one for me, because I know from certain situations with myself, there's a lot of things that I run into personally being a young Black man in America. So, and especially being educated with it, it comes with a lot of goods, a lot of bads, and there's some situations that you get put into where you have to see it from a different perspective so you can make it out of that situation yourself. So I would love to talk about that. And the other topic that I wish to talk about for a main focus is possibly toxic masculinity. So I'm glad to be a part of this conversation to be able to talk about it.
All right, so our first part is gonna be redefining fat and skinny, redefining those two terms under our body positivity episode.
Yep. So the first part of the series deals with our weight and how society tells us, you know, what we should look like. So let's play this clip really quick that deals with the body positivity movement.
Do you think there's a line where a body type becomes unhealthy?
Yeah, like if you're over 300.
What size do you think plus size would start at?
Doesn't it start at like a 14? I don't know.
I mean, if you're overweight, then it's obviously not healthy.
What would you say would be the opposite of plus size?
Like normal.
How would you define normal?
I have no idea.
On its most basic level, body positivity is the idea that all bodies are good bodies. When you think of what TV, magazines, and movies tell us a good body is, which celebrities come to mind?
We're asking people which celebrity they think has a really great body.
I think Jennifer Lawrence has my ideal body.
I definitely think Jennifer Aniston has a good body. She's toned. I don't know, she looks healthy. Who would you choose?
Jessica Alba. She has like a healthy body type, in my opinion.
What can we deduce about good bodies based on these women? Good bodies are thin, straight, and most often white. There's nothing wrong with having a body like this, but the body positivity movement strives to create representation for marginalized bodies. We want to see fat bodies, queer bodies, bodies of color, and everything in between up front and center in mainstream media.
Have you ever thought about the ideal body for a woman or struggle with that idea based on the clip we just showed?
I definitely thought about the ideal, you know, body type for a woman, but it's almost hard to think about it in just like, you know, our own perspective, because I mean, the ideal body shape, you know, has changed over history. You know, in the past, it's been having really large bodies to show that you're wealthy. And then it's moved to, you know, having really thin, skinny bodies, almost emaciated bodies. And now, you know, it's more moving towards like, you know, the hourglass figure, you know, larger hips, bigger breasts. But like, I think it's definitely a lot of the things that women are shown that they need to achieve are unrealistic. And oftentimes in media, people's bodies are edited or changed so that they look the way they do. So I think it's irresponsible to try to picture yourself as being that person. And also, you know, on the hands of people who may have an influence on the way young girls or women think about themselves, they should be transparent about, you know, what they've had done. Not, you know, whether or not people think it's good or bad, it's definitely important to know, you know, that's not the way their body is naturally in. And that's okay. I mean, getting plastic surgery, that's your own personal decision. But, you know, having that influence on a lot of younger people, you should be transparent about that.
Yeah, sometimes I'm not on social media a lot, but my wife will show me a person on social media. I think like Cardi B, for instance. I hope this doesn't go too big or else you'll see this. But she showed me a picture of her with like no makeup on and, you know, nothing dressed up. And I'm like, who is that? And she was like, you know who that is. I said, no, who is that? And she was like, you know who it is. She kind of got like a little irritable with me. And I'm like, I really don't know who that is. And, you know, she says, Cardi B. I'm like, wow. So there's a difference in what we present and what the media presents. And what's, and, you know, sometimes what's underneath all the, you know, the modifications.
Yeah, just the airbrushing that goes into magazine pictures is amazing. It's what they can do if you Google, you know, airbrushing classes and how to do that in Photoshop. You can add and get rid of so many things. And these people look like they have no flaws whatsoever, you know, as far as like, you know, skin things or, you know, zits or anything, and they can make it disappear and look like higher cheekbones and everything to fit the standard. Even the stars themselves oftentimes don't fit the standard.
Yeah. I'm curious though, what, Sydney, do you see it having an effect, a negative or if anything?
I think it definitely has an effect on how we view ourselves, and just the idea that certain things are seen as flaws, I think, can be really negative. Miss Lee was referring to airbrushing over our flaws, our acne and stuff like that. And when did we ever decide that acne was like some terrible flaw that we had, or that, you know, love handles were a flaw, or
arm was a flaw.
A lot of it has been media, and a lot of it has been companies trying to make money off of the insecurities of these people by marketing products that will get rid of what the media has deemed a flaw. And I think that that's an extremely negative idea that we've pressed onto like our youth and onto all of our society.
Yeah,
I agree.
Feedback off of what Sydney was saying, it's like the female body has been like greatly impacted just by like consumerism in general, and as in like the female body, at least in media, isn't supposed to be natural. Like it's a marketing tool. Like it's what, you know, what can I make it look like so that the most people are attracted to this? And it's beyond, you know, what's natural for any woman, you know, like no stretch marks, no acne, perfect skin. Like nobody looks like that. Like
right.
And so it's become like a tool for companies or corporations or whatever it needs to be. It's an item almost. Like it's not
like women actually like had hair, you know, pre 1900s and stuff like that, and the razor's invented and suddenly women are not supposed to have hair. So much of it is based on how companies can milk so much money from insecurities of women that they've created.
Hold on a second. Is what Sydney's saying true? When did it become the norm for women to shave their legs? I had never thought about it much before, so I decided to do some digging. According to a Vox article, How the Beauty Industry Convinced Women to Shave Their Legs by Phil Edwards, pre-1900s women's clothing revealed so little of their body with the floor-length skirts and the long sleeves that most women didn't think much about shaving their legs. However, research conducted by Christine Hope for her paper Caucasian Female Body Hair in American Culture reveals that depilatories were marketed to women to rid themselves of unwanted facial, neck, and forearm hair. It wasn't until the 1920s, when sleeveless dresses and raised hemlines came into fashion, that advertisements for razors and depilatories started to target women in the spring and summer months, asserting that women could shave their legs so they would not have to wear their stockings at the beach. You heard that right. Women actually wore pantyhose with their bathing suits. But all that aside, it still was so far from the norm for a woman to shave her legs that when one poor girl cut herself shaving in 1920, the story was published in the Seattle Star newspaper. 20 years later, ads began arguably shaming women and shaving their legs. An ad in McCall's magazine stated, "Let's look at your legs. Everyone else does. Creepy." And in 1939, Harper's Bazaar wrote, "Ankle socks on the campus are a fine old institution and all very well, but not on furry legs." Later following up with, "If we were Dean of Women, we'd levy a demerit on every hairy leg on campus," in 1941. According to Hope, Leg shaving became the norm for women in the 1960s, where it was reported that 98% of women aged 15 to 44 regularly shaved their legs, making this a relatively new trend.
But I want us to jump into the next clip and actually, you know, a real version of how this can happen in the media.
Yes.
Well, Jillian Michaels had made some comments about Lizzo and about her appearance. Here's what she had to say originally.
I love celebrities like Lizzo or Ashley Graham who are really preaching self-acceptance.
I love her music. Yeah, 100%.
I don't know anything about her. I'm sure she's a cool, awesome chick.
But yeah, and I love that they're putting images out there that we normally don't get to see of bodies that we don't get to see being celebrated. And
why are we celebrating her body? Why does it matter? That's what I'm saying. Like, why aren't we celebrating her music? Because it isn't going to be awesome if she gets diabetes.
Well, I want to ask you.
I'm just being honest. Like, I love her music, but there's never a moment where I'm like, and I'm so glad that she's overweight.
Well, Jillian Michaels is a celebrity trainer, and she was on BuzzFeed News AM to DM, and those were her comments. Well, she has doubled down on those comments since then. Here's what she had to say about the backlash.
I'm a health expert. For decades, I have said repeatedly that your weight and your size have no bearing or merit on your value, your beauty, your worth, your ability. Where it does have relevance is your health.
Of course.
And to pretend that it doesn't is not only irresponsible, it's dangerous, and it's just not a lie I'm willing to tell because it's politically correct, man. My overall point is that take care of your health because you love yourself. Obesity is the number one contributor to diabetes, heart disease, cancer.
All right, so we're going to stop it there. Now I'm curious.
What's wrong with what she said?
Personally, from my point of view, what the gist of her idea of saying, you know, you're unhappy with your certain type of body style, because I think she was saying you have to love yourself to have a certain type of body style. Lizzo is a very open person herself. Mm-hmm. She always uploads her body the way it is. We know Lizzo is obese in a way, and she is very loving towards herself and others. And I think what she's taking away from it is like a false claim when she's saying, you know, you need to have these kind of, what I'm saying is she needs to have these kind of certain looks for her to be able to say, you know what, I love myself and I can do this as well. I can make this music as well.
Right, right. Almost like
she doesn't really need to do that in a way. Like, okay, obesity is a true state. Okay, so when she said obesity is
a real thing,
bad, like, you know, you can get different type of blood, I think, what did she say, diabetes
blood, and cancer, yeah,
whatever, all those other things, that is true, everybody knows that. So you can approach the subject in the way you want. I understand what she's saying with her idea, her opinion on it, like her point of view, as in, you know, you need to love yourself more, but Lizzo loves herself the way she is. So does she need to really change? Like, you're saying it in more of an aggressive way instead of saying it as in, you know, let's go out here and let's work out. Let's go do this together. Let's right. Get our bodies back in a healthier shape.
And I think also what's interesting is, I mean, if you've seen any of Lizzo's performances, she's very active. I think it speaks to our understanding of what does healthy mean. Because I think that if I did any of her routines, I would be grossly out of breath and I probably wouldn't make it through. Nonetheless, I wouldn't be singing while I'm doing it. And, you know, they would say that I'm healthy, but I'm actually not. I'm not in very good shape right now. So I think that, yeah, maybe Jillian Michaels perhaps is conflating two things that don't really necessarily have anything to do with one another.
Well, and it's interesting that, you know, she, when it comes to body positivity and a person with a larger figure, she doesn't want to celebrate that. But it, you know, you don't see many people saying anything about celebrating people who are thinner. In fact, over the quarantine, I've seen a lot of posts where stars like Adele lost a lot of weight and, you know, and began working out and things like that. And we praise that. But sometimes, you know, we praise figures that these stars get and maybe they didn't come about them in a healthy way. So I think it's, you know, if we're going to call out, you know, people who are heavier for possibly, you know, having things like diabetes or something like that, we also need to call out some of the people who are not, who are on the thinner side, but they get that way by not eating or, you know, consuming medications or something for the purpose of, you know, losing weight that aren't healthy for you either. I mean, thin does not equal healthy.
Right. I think a lot of the times when people are looking at overweight and obese bodies, the conversation always shifts to health, you know, regardless of actually how healthy they are. I mean, Lizzo is literally vegan. Like she exercises constantly. And every time someone wants to talk about Lizzo, they're like, well, is she healthy though? Healthy isn't really defined specifically by a body type. And a lot of the things, you know, you can have an extremely unhealthy body and be a normal shape or a small shape. Mm-hmm. And I think people pretend to care about Lizzo's health, even though they're trying to project that maybe they're uncomfortable with her feeling comfortable in her own body.
I agree.
I definitely agree with that. And I just want to like hop on that. I'm like, it's always like when somebody who has a body type that is not, you know, perceived as normal by our society, and they're seen being happy, being proud. It doesn't even have to be they are proud of their body. They could just be seen not, you know, hiding themselves in a way that society has conditioned them to want to hide themselves. And people will say that they're promoting unhealthy standards. And I just think that that's such a terrible precedent that we're setting, and that we should allow people who are, you know, whether or not they have a healthy or unhealthy body type, we should allow them to see themselves in a positive way. That doesn't mean that we should like encourage them to continue unhealthy behaviors. Whether or not Lizzo is or isn't being unhealthy, it doesn't matter in the sense that we should allow her to be comfortable and be happy in the way that she looks.
Mm-hmm. And she has value and she has worth.
She has value and she has worth. I think that's a great takeaway from this episode. No matter what we look like, no matter what society says we should look like, we have value and we have worth. And beyond that, there are many definitions of beautiful. This reminds me of a poem by Maya Angelou called Still I Rise. Let's close with that.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear or pain or loss or disappointment. And yet each of us has awakened, arisen, somehow made our ablution, seen other human beings, and said, morning, how are you? Fine, thanks, and you? It's amazing. Wherever that abides in the human being, there is the nobleness of the human spirit. Despite it all, black and white, Asian, Spanish, Native American, pretty, plain, thin, fat, vowed or celibate, we rise. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like suns and like moons, with the certainty of tides. Just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. as if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh. Does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs.
Thank you for listening to our first installment in our body positivity episodes. I want to quickly give credit to the clips we featured in our show today. We began our podcast with a quote by Ms. Angelia Hines, followed by a clip from the YouTube video, What is the Body Positivity Movement?, posted by Bustle, followed by Lizzo responds to Jillian Michaels' body shaming comments, posted by The Breakfast Club, Power 105.1 FM, and finally we ended with And Still I Rise, where Maya Angelou recites her poem, posted to YouTube by Mohit Bahi.